the spiritual life of India is enlivened and maintained by the avatars of the Lord. Avatar means when God comes from the purely transcendental plane, the Vaikuntha world, into our world. It means something like a descent, almost as if he goes down the steps to come here where we are. It is said that for us, the bound conditioned soul who is bound in samsara, it is not possible to go up there to the Lord. But the Lord, who is not bound by samsara, is free to walk wherever he wants, including our place, the material world. About 500 years ago, Lord Krishna took an avatar, which is particularly important for our time. It is called the Karuna avatar, the mercy incarnation. He came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited how he is the Supreme Lord. I want to ask you a question. Especially in India, we see so many incarnations of God. Around each street corner there is one avatar. We are sometimes doubtful, is he really an avatar or is he only a self-proclaimed avatar? What is your criterion? How do you know that someone is God? How do you know that someone is Bhagavan? It's a good question, isn't it? Now you will have to think. I think it's very important also for the Indians to know, is this man around the street corner really Bhagavan? Does he have the qualifications or only the self-proclaimed name? Imagine Gaurahari would get up and say, I'm Bhagavan. How would you know if he is or not? I will help you. Obviously, I have prepared myself for this question, so it's very easy for me. But you who are maybe overwhelmed by such a question, how do we know that someone is God? You are at this moment a little speechless. That is understandable. I have a little advantage over you that I'm prepared for this question. Parashara Muni has given a definition of the Supreme. His definition is that the Supreme must have six opulences, or Aishwarya it's called. The first is, he is the origin of everything. Everything which is visible, and also those things which we cannot see with our eyes, have originated from Bhagavan. The next thing is, the next quality is, he is the strongest. I remember in my childhood having seen a picture of one Greek man. His name is Atlas. Have you heard about Atlas? He is said to hold the Earth planet on his neck. And he looks at very overworked and tired from this heavy carrying. But Bhagavan is not only carrying one planet Earth effortlessly. He is carrying all the planets in all the universes. And in fact, he carries all the universes by his inconceivable strength as Anantashesha. Ananta means unlimited. He's unlimitedly strong to carry everything. The next quality which we hear is he is the wisest. Nowadays, when you walk over the shopping center in Heidelberg, you see pictures of Albert Einstein, who has conceived of the theory of relativity. However, we find that Krishna is the source of Mr. Einstein's knowledge. In the Gita, he says, Savasya chaham hridi sannivishtu matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. That he is situated in the heart of everyone, and from him comes all the knowledge, all the memory, and also one's forgetfulness. A very wise or intelligent person has such a theory, like the theory of relativity, which explains a lot about the material energy. It is from Krishna where he has this knowledge. Or do you sometimes know of this situation where you want to remember something? You see someone and you want to address him by his name, and it's just there, it's almost coming, and you go like, don't tell your name. Mr. Sharma. And he says, yes, I'm Sharma. Memory was given by Lord Krishna, who's there in the heart, and from him comes all the smriti, all the memory. And also from Krishna comes all the forgetfulness. Sometimes we meet Indians in the West who have forgotten everything about their culture. They have forgotten what should be eaten, what should not be eaten. They have forgotten about prayer. They have even forgotten about the most basic rules of hygienic principles, which are not always known in the West. Even this forgetfulness we hear is incited or caused by the Lord, who is in the heart of everyone as the wisest person, from whom comes all knowledge, remembrance, and also forgetfulness, if someone so desires. So we have now three qualities for Bhagavan. He's the source of everything. He's the strongest. He is the wisest. Now comes another quality. He is the most beautiful. Everyone is simply attracted to his beauty. I'm just now going through a book of one person who is teaching in the University of Frankfurt, and in this book this person talks about religious experience as something which must be studied by science. And he explains how everyone who has seen something of God is overwhelmed by the beauty, and everything in this world, even Marilyn Monroe's most attractive smile, is in comparison to this beauty of the Lord insignificant. It is described that all the beautiful creations, like for instance female beauty, or the beautiful creations in art, or even the beauty which you find in the untouched nature, which is overwhelming to your eyes, that this is coming from, is a little spark from Lord Krishna's beauty. The next quality of Lord Krishna, which makes him Bhagavan, is he is the most famous person. I remember when what was it? Mr. Bill Clinton, you do remember this name? He was the president of the previous president of America. When he came to India, many stadiums were cleansed, things were built for him, buildings, because he is very famous. Or I heard a little while ago, this was when I was a young boy, the most famous person was a boxer, Muhammad Ali or Cassius Clay, who was able to box everyone into the ground. And one had a headache for 2 weeks when one would meet Muhammad Ali and he would box. So he was the most famous person for some time. Then he would come, there would be press conferences. Oh, Muhammad Ali has come, the great boxer. Or I know in India there are very famous cricket stars. In Bombay you can see billboards. So and so cricket star, famous cricket star comes. I must excuse myself. I do not know anything about cricket. I don't even know how it looks like, cricket. If there's a cricket goal or a cricket bat or a cricket hat. I'm very ignorant about this sacred knowledge of India. No one is as famous as God, really. There are churches, mosques, huge movements all around his name. You must agree, everyone, he's so famous, even the atheists, they think from morning till evening only on him. There is no God, they think. He's the most famous. This is a fifth quality of Bhagavan, and the last quality is he is the most renounced. That means although he has so many things, in fact the whole world comes from him, he's not at all interested in anything of this world, not even a Mercedes-Benz or a good computer program. He is totally uninterested. He is renounced. Renounced. So these six qualities: he is the origin and source of everything. He is the strongest. He is the wisest. He is the most beautiful. He is the most famous. And finally, he's the most renounced. He's so detached, we could say, so much vairagya, that he is not involved. Are the qualities of the Lord. So 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here you need to concentrate very intently to understand the speciality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not appear by overtly or very visibly showing the qualities of God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared actually in the role of the bhakta, or the devotee of the Lord, because he wanted to know how does my greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani, feel when she relates to me, worships me, and experiences my own love? The Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wanted to, in other words, experience what it is to be a devotee. He appeared in a loving experiment, so to say, to find out, you know, how a devotee feels in relationship to him. Imagine just for a little second, with your intelligence, how God must feel when the whole creation only worships him. He does not need this worship. He is not an egocentric figure who is dependent on attention and recognition. He feels, I want to know, what do my bhaktas feel in relationship to me? We have this one statement in the Mahabharata. When the whole universe gets destroyed by the powerful dissolution of the universe, at that time Lord Krishna floats on the waters of dissolution, these huge oceans with the waves, on a big leaf like this, and he, in the mood of a child, takes his toe and sucks his toe, because he thinks the whole world is interested in my lotus feet. They worship my lotus feet. What is the taste of my lotus feet? And he will take his own lotus feet and suck it like a little baby does, because he wants to know, what does my bhakta feel? How are these lotus feet so sweet? Let me taste them also. And he does this in a very dramatic situation. He does this when the whole universe gets destroyed, and there is the waters of dissolution with very high waves. The Lord is undisturbed, floating on a banyan leaf, making these experiments. What do my devotees feel? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as in the role of a devotee. He is known for ecstatic kirtans, singing of the Lord's holy name. He would come, for instance, in an area, and he would have his kirtaniyas, his associates, playing drums and medanga drums and karatas, and he would chant, and millions of people would gather around him to participate in this loving kirtan. Those who participated in this loving kirtan were overwhelmed by prema, by the highest states of ecstasy and love, without, so to say, having done any sadhana to reach this level. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very famous, so that there were millions of people who became his devotees, including ministers and so on and so forth. And he started a movement, the Chaitanya Bhakti movement, which spread throughout India. It's described when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would walk on the street and would see someone, he would go to him and embrace him. The person who was embraced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be showing signs of the highest love and ecstasy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhakti spread, you could say, like electricity. It was almost an electric bhakti. And he made the prophecy that there will be a time when in every town and village his name, means he is Krishna, so the name of Krishna would be known. And he made prophecies that there would also be in the West a movement spreading the holy names of Krishna on the street. We are, so to say, signs of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's electric bhakti. It has also charged us, so to say, and influenced us. So at times, though, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would show that he is the Supreme Lord Krishna. And I would like to tell you a few of these signs or times so that your faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is born or nourished or maintained, depending on what you know already of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Chaitanya was still a small child, there came the best of brahmanas to his parents. This brahmana was traveling throughout India. He came from south, like some of our dear guests today. And he would not stay longer in one place, longer than 3 days in one place. He was really a moving mendicant, something like a sannyasi. He carried a little Shila with him, the Shila of Lord Gopal, whom he worshipped every day, and to whom he worshipped, whom he offered all his foodstuffs. Now once it was already evening and the sun was setting, he came to the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parents, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. And he said, "I have not yet done my offering today to my Gopal. Can you supply me some foodstuffs?" So immediately Jagannath Mishra cleansed the whole kitchen with cow dung and put some vegetables there and put some wood there, and the pots were all cleansed. And this brahmana started to, how do you say, to gather the ingredients, and he was cooking very nicely at around, let us say, 7 o'clock. His cooking work was finished. He took the preparation, brought it to his little altar, and started to chant the mantras to offer the foodstuffs to Bhagavan. Now, as he was just almost finishing his offering, he saw how the little boy of the house, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was looking, and then went on the altar and started to eat the food which was just in the process of being offered to Bhagavan. The brahmana said, "Alas, alas! Oh," yeah, it was quite dramatic. "Oh, I have come here to offer, and now this child has come and spoiled my offering. It has eaten everything. It has eaten before the offering was completed. Oh, no, no, no! My Lord wants me to fast today," and he wanted to go hungry to bed. Jagannath Mishra said, "No, no, 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 no. Our son is quite restless. Please forgive us. You please cook a second time. Don't become mental and morose and distressed. We clean all the kitchen, and this time I will take my little boy and I will put him into the house of the neighbors, and I will be before the door, and there is no chance that it will happen again." After much work and many words to convince this brahmana, he cooked again. He put the plate before his Shila, his deity, and he again sat down to chant the mantras. This time, in the very beginning of his offering, he saw the little boy climbing on the altar. As he was just saying the mantras, the boy just ate very smilingly the food. The Brahmana said, "I knew there are days when we are not meant to eat." And he took the food and threw it away because he would not touch anything which was not first offered to the Lord. And he was determined. He said, on everyone's forehead, his happiness and unhappiness is already written. There is an art by looking at someone's forehead, and you can know how happy this person will be in this life and how unhappy he will be in this life. So on my forehead it is written that today I will not eat anything. It is very clear to me. And he declined to cook another time. Now all of a sudden, as he was getting ready to go to bed, the brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his name is Vishwarup, came to him. He was about 16 years, and he was already an accomplished Panditji. And when he came to the Brahmana saw how from the body of Vishwarup the light came as if there were millions of suns rising up. And he was immediately ready to listen to everything what Vishwarup said. And Vishwarup said, "My brother is a little restless. Please, my dear Brahmana, this house will be very unfortunate if you do not offer your food and if you don't eat your food. Please cook one third time. This time we make absolutely sure that the little boy cannot go out of the house. We will not even have him near here. We will bring him a little away, and we will lock all the windows and all the doors like a security prison. He cannot come this time again." So this was done. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was put away. The Brahmana cooked a third time and offered around 12 o'clock the third time his meal. As he was opening his eyes while chanting his mantra, he saw the boy on the altar. This time and he started to scream, "Oh no!" This time the boy looked at him very stern, and he said, "You are very funny and very deranged in your head. First you call me as Gopal to take your food, and when I come to take my food, you scream and howl and yell and so on. What type of logic is this?" And as this little boy was telling this, my dear audience, please listen to this very intently, something wonderful happened. The whole atmosphere transformed. It was no longer Navadvip. His form became dark like a tamal tree with beautiful lotus eyes. He was standing near the river Jamuna. You must be knowing. There were an unlimited amount of rishis and munis, including Narad Muni, who stood in the sky and offered his prayers from above, who glorified this boy, and who were singing songs like Krishna, Govinda, Govinda, Gopala Nandala, like we have sung. He saw many gopis and gopas offering the most beautiful prayers and playing instruments for his pleasure. And the boy spoke to him and said, I have come here in the age of Kali to spread the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for the benefit of the whole world. What you have seen is a rare darshan, and I order you to not tell anyone what you have today perceived. If you tell anyone that you have seen me being Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will have to take you earlier from this world than it is natural. And with this, that this wonderful scene of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Krishna, Krishna disappeared, and the little boy who had eaten the rice of the Brahmana stayed there and smiled and said, what have you seen? Something unusual? At this moment the wanderings of the Brahmanas came to an end. He stayed near to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house, and every day he was coming there. Jagannath Mishra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sachi Devi, his mother, could not understand when the Brahmana sat before the little boy with tears of love in his eyes, sometimes fainting and sometimes going into a trance. Now, later, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had, so to say, grown up, he very often displayed his divine opulences. For instance, he would sometimes, in an ecstatic kirtan, go onto the altar and start to manifest the different incarnations of the Lord. There was one incident which I want to bring to your attention, which is called the Mahaprakash Leela. Prakash means manifestation, and Leela you all know, and Maha you also know. It took place at Shriva Sangam for 21 hours, and there was one bhakta called Murari Gupta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him and said, Murari, look at me. And as Murari looked at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed into Sita, Ram and Lakshman. As Rama, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now called Murari and said, Murari, do you remember when the demon Ravan had stolen Mother Sita? Came to her rescue. You jumped over the ocean and you visited her in Lanka. When Murari heard this, all of a sudden he saw that there was a tail on him. He was no longer Murari, he was Hanuman. Ooh. And Lord Ram said, oh monkey, rise. Do you remember how Ravan had stolen Sita, and how when you came to her rescue he captured you and set your tail on fire? And this being who was in his previous life Hanuman and who was now Murari Gupta nodded his head and smiled. At that time you took your tail which was on fire and went through the whole town of Lanka and set the whole town ablaze. when Ravan shot an arrow at Lakshman, you wanted to rescue Lakshman by carrying the whole mountain Gandhamadan, where there was this Mrityu Sanjivani, this life-giving herb, and you came and saved him with this herb. I am your beloved Lord Ramachandra, and you are Hanuman, my eternal servant. You have forgotten these things, but today I remind you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in other words, would at rare occasions display how he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the fountainhead or source of all the avatars of the Lord who have come in the history of this planet to save the human beings. The greatest mercy, or I would say benefit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that he is giving the love of Krishna into the heart of anyone who comes and begs for him. See, when I was a young boy, my father is, as some of you might know, one of the directors of the German railway, Die Bahn. Some of you might have gone with the trains. You have gone with an arrangement of my father. And I was like a train headed into another direction, not the life of a bhakta, but the life of a director. And I do remember my first contact with devotees of Lord Krishna. It was in the town of Hamburg. Some of you know, Gurahari will say Hamburg. So it was in the town of Hamburg. And he was, I was walking over the streets. I had some little interest in India, but not much. I thought people are very poor there, and when you go there, you get sick. That was my knowledge of India. So I saw the devotees standing being on the street and chanting Hare Krishna to the accompaniment of karatals and medangam. And I remember, I thought, that was very strange. They are dressed in bed sheets. You know, we looked, we did not know what is dhoti or sari. We thought it was bed sheets. That was the closest guess we could make. And I remember I looked at them and I said, very, 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 very different. My comment to my friend was on that evening, they look like people coming from planet Mars, a different planet. But one devotee had given me a Bhagavad Gita, which was translated by my revered spiritual master. And I remember that evening I read the Bhagavad Gita, and I must say I was impressed. I was especially impressed by the high ideals, and I thought these are very high ideals, but they are impossible to realize for a Westerner. Later, of course, I met and I talked more with the devotees, and I could understand that they had imbibed these ideas. They were in their hearts. Nowadays, many of the Indians who come together with our devotees, they say, you are more in this culture than we. We have forgotten everything, but you are doing everything. Now, I was very impressed, I must say. What impressed me so much is that here is something which is universal. It is not something which is only for Indians, but it is present really within every human soul. The example which my own spiritual master had given is that Krishna consciousness is within us almost like fire is within wood. If you look at this wood, it has the element fire in it, in a potential form. It is not visible to our eyes at this moment, but it is there in a potential or latent form, latente form in Deutsch. And when you bring it in contact with another fire, the fire within the wood has to come out. It's not like water, for instance, when you bring water in contact with fire. Nothing, no fire is coming out of the water because it is not present in that form in water. But fire is present in wood. In the same way, Krishna consciousness is present in the human soul, or in all souls for that matter. And if you bring it in contact with another Krishna consciousness, if you bring it in contact with another fire, it bursts out. This I have seen, and this for me is a proof of God consciousness. I have seen Germans taking to Krishna consciousness. I've seen Yugoslavians turning to Krishna consciousness, and I'm traveling now with a Frenchman, Gora Ari, who is also coming, and some Krishna consciousness is coming out. This is a sign that this is something universal. It is not restricted to any particular culture. And it comes out due to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who made the prophecy that his merciful movement would spread to each nook, to every nook and corner of the world. You could see, so to say, the Western devotees as living proofs for the universality of spiritual the tattva, the spiritual truth of the Vedas, that really that this original consciousness which is pure and calm is there within every soul, and it waits to be brought out. I want to give you all a very interesting invitation. I would like to invite all of you to become very serious in developing your own Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. I would sincerely request you, because most of you are from India, to really think about this point. You're going now to a computer school maybe, or you are working here in Germany, because you feel a sense of responsibility to your family members in India whom you wish to support and maintain. This is certainly all very noble and necessary, but the world doesn't need at this moment more engineers or computer programmers. The world desperately needs more enlightened souls, more spiritual minded persons. And I would request all of you to sincerely consider if you cannot in some ways become part of this great spiritual revolution, or great spiritual renaissance I should say, where the original clear and calm and peaceful consciousness of the living entity is brought forth and brought out. I'm extremely impressed by our hosts, whose name is still not totally in my mind, so please you
Sandeep.
Sandeep and Arpana, Kalpana and Praneshu. Yes. Sandeep, Kalpana and Praneshu.
Pranshu.
Yes. So I'm very impressed by them because they have shown great interest in this transcendental invitation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to again revitalize our God consciousness. Please know it is a non-sectarian process. It's not limited to a movement, or an institution. It is the invitation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is for all good and spiritual minded people, and we are extremely happy that we can take part in this in some humble work and assist you all in your own spiritual development. It's said when Lord Krishna had created the universes and all the different life forms, he was not satisfied. He was unsatisfied because he could see that the jivas, which are his own sons and daughters, his own angsus, parts, when they came, as they came to this world, they forgot everything by the influence of the Maya Shakti, and they were totally covered. So he thought, I must create one life form, one species, which is extremely well suited for spiritual development. And what he did is he created the human form of life, which is just suitable, which is just perfect in order to develop our original God or Krishna consciousness. So I really want to request you to become part of this revolutionary and movement which creates auspiciousness to all the people of this world, which tries to create this at least. In our humble way, we are not perfect, and we are just sincerely begging the Lord that he accepts us as his instruments. So please have some association with us. You might like to come to Heidelberg, or when we celebrate Jamashtami, you might like to rent a big bus from here, from Funkstadt, and come with a bus to Jamashtami in Golokdham. Sandeep, have you visited Golokdham? You have, with the family?
Yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. So please give us your sacred your great association. This was all I wanted to say. I hope it has satisfied your mind. I would like to see if any of you have any questions at this stage and at this point of time. But just with your permission, drink a little water. No? Good.
Swami, I have a question.
Yes.
Which may not be directly related to what you have said.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sentence in Sanskrit which many people could misinterpret. It is Aham Brahmasmi.
Aham Brahmasmi.
How can I interpret it? Or with your wisdom, how can you interpret it?
Mm-hmm.
I am the God.
Yeah, I am Brahman. Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. Yes. This is one of the Mahavakyas, the great sentences of the Vedic scriptures, the great speakings or tellings. aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am God. The way it is expressed in our Vedas is that we all, as we are all part of the Lord, and therefore just like parts have the same qualities as the whole, we have the same qualities as God. We are godly, so to say. If you look at an example which has been given, the sparks of a fire have all the qualities of a fire. They spread warmth and heat and light, but in a minute quantity, not in the same quantity as the fire, the sparks are. So aham brahmasmi would mean I am a part of God, I am godly, but I am not God. It's not that I am as famous as God, I am not as beautiful as God. I am certainly not the source of all which has come. But I am part of God, and therefore I have always within me these spiritual qualities. Even a little ant is a jivatma, a little soul, and if you would make attempts to kill the ant, he would violently protest and run away, because as a soul, the ant is eternal. It's full of bliss and full of knowledge, however in minute quantity. The qualities are there, but not the quantity. Now, many times philosophers, especially in India, have said that okay, the jivatma is at the moment separated from God, it is in a material body, but once the jivatma attains moksha, at that time he becomes one with God, almost like a drop of water which comes into an ocean, becomes one with the ocean. The philosophers have said like this. In the Bhagavad Gita and other such scriptures, it says that the soul is eternally, that means without beginning and end, a part of the Lord. And as a part, it remains a part of the Lord. Only when we attain our moksha, we are, so to say, together with the Lord, and now we are separated from Him. When we are after our moksha together with the Lord, we will enjoy what is called rasa. Rasa means a great pleasure which is possible when there is an exchange between two living entities. Rasa is happening when there is the jiva, jivatma, and there is the Lord, and there is a loving exchange between them. If they become one, then the exchange is not possible any longer. When I am not separate from the scene, then the seer cannot see the scene. What is a scene? If I am not separate from the sugar, I cannot taste the sugar if I am one with the sugar. So in the scriptures it is said, the Lord is full of rasa, that means he is full of loving exchange with his separated parts, which are one with him in quality, but separate from him in quantity. This is how it seems. So aham brahmasmi, you should say, it doesn't mean I'm God, it means I'm godly.
Then God resides.
Yes, like that. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your wonderful question. I want to conclude, because it's such a nice point, by telling you a little story from one of the Puranas. It's a Matsya Purana, which makes very clear what is our responsibility in this human form of life. Once, Narad Muni visited Lord Krishna in Dwaraka, and Krishna took him on a little walk. And in the midst of the walk, Narada Muni said, "My dear Lord Krishna, can you show me your Maya, your material energy, please?" Krishna was looking at Narad and said, "Why do you want to see my Maya? It's not very nice for a bhakta to see my Maya." No, said Narada, I'm always speaking about your many energies. I just need to see it one time quickly, and then I can speak nicely and from experience." Excuse me, please. Krishna said nothing. After some time, he said, "Narad, I'm extremely thirsty. Can you please bring me a glass of water?" So Narada Muni looked around, and they had walked by now inside the desert. There was no water. So this time, Narad said, "Where should I go and get a glass of water? We are in the desert." Krishna said, "You just pass for about 2 kilometers this way, and you will come to a river, and there is a few houses, and in one of the houses you knock and you will get some water." Narada Muni went. He knocked at the first house. No one opened. He knocked in the second house, no one opened. And when he knocked at the door of the third house, a beautiful lady opened and said, "Oh, Naradaji." Oh, she knows me. "Come in. I just wanted a glass of water." No, first come. Betty, how do you say Betty? Sit here. My friend is thirsty. Betty. So he sat down. At that moment, the door from the back opened and the man came out, said, "Oh, you must be the man who will marry my daughter." I'm Brahmachari, said Narada Muni. No, it is foretold in the horoscopic descriptions of this village that on such and such date a saintly man would come and he would marry my daughter. It is prophesied. Narada Muni started to think, "Well, if it's prophesied..." Said, "All right." So Narada Muni forgot about the glass of water. He worked the fields. He got two sons, and when his stepfather died, he became the village chief. One day it started to rain, but this day it didn't stop to rain. The river carried more and more water. Finally, it went beyond the embankment and took one of the houses away, took a second house and a third house away. Narada Muni was panicking. He took his wife and his two children into a boat, and he started to get into the middle. He tried to get into the middle of the river where the water was not so much raging and not so much waves, but the waves came overboard and took first his little son, then his bigger son, then his wife, and then the waves took the whole boat and were throwing the boat into the water, and Narada Muni fell out of the boat. He started to swim, but one of the, I think in English they are called oars, which you use to move the boat forward. How do we say in Hindi?
Patwa.
Yes, the patwa. And this one patwa was just swirling around. It hit Narada Muni and he was coming into a swoon. And then his last words were, "Krishna!" Then he was holding something. All of a sudden he saw he was awake. And he looked what he was holding. He thought it was a patwa, but no, it was a yellow dhoti. And he looked up and looked into the smiling face of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna asked him, "O Narada Muni, where is my glass of water you wanted to bring?" Narada Muni said, "Well, I'm just going." And he went to the village. He knocked at the first door, no one opened. He knocked at the second door, no one opened. He knocked at the third door, and the most beautiful of women opened. "Oh, you must be Narada Muni." "That's right. Betya." He said, "No, I'm sorry. I want to bring a glass of water for my friend." No, just sit. No. "I just want to get a glass of water for my Krishna." No, you just sit. "No, I want to get a glass of water for Krishna." That's all. She gave the glass of water. He took the glass of water and he brought it to Krishna and said, "My Lord, now I understand what is your Maya. The moment I forget to bring the glass of water, that is, the moment I forget to do seva, then Maya is there. Hare Krishna." This is a very deep story from the Puranas. It tells us the moment, my dear young people, a moment you forget your seva and you think, "I'm here in Germany, oh, so many interesting movies, so many interesting things to look, and when I do some, here I can do things which I can never do in India. And no one will see what I do." When you forget your seva, at that moment, you are in Maya. The material energy becomes very strong. So I would encourage you, please, you make your little altar and you put your place your pictures of God there, your photos of God, and you do every morning a little puja before you start your day. A little prayer must be done, and that will keep you out of Maya. If you don't do If you don't bring your glass of water, who can guarantee what is the result of staying in Germany? There's no guarantee. This is my little encouragement to you. I'm sorry, but the Swamiji has to say such things. Otherwise, he does not get any prasadam. So, also our heartfelt invitation is, please come to our little temple. There we have a nice altar of Gonitai. We have brought with us our temple president, Vipulaji Prabhu. He's here. Musical talent, and he will be able to answer any questions, how to get there, what are the services, what are the darshan times, and so on and so forth. Krishna, and please make plans for Janmashtami. I do not know when it comes. September, I believe. What? 3rd of September. You can get more information, and please come for our Radha Madan Mohan in Golok Dham. You would make our project very auspicious. And do not forget your glass of water when you come. Okay, with this I want to end here. Thank you very much.